This episode of the Griffey Boys is sponsored by Quick Feet. Quick Feet offers the simplest, most effective way to customize your skates, ensuring you're perfectly positioned for every pivot and turn when making plays. Simply slide one, two, or three Quick Feet inserts in your existing insoles, giving you more power and stability on ice. Whether you're competing at the highest level, skating as a hobby, or guiding others as a coach, Quick Feet will provide the ultimate enhancement for anyone looking to maximize their performance. Head over to quickfeet.com now to unlock a 10% discount with the promo code CurfewBoys10 and skate into a new era of on-ice performance. Elevate your game with Quick Feet, where every stride counts.
What's up, ladies and gents? Welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Your host tonight, Anxious Anthony with GQ in the house. And we got Fireman Sam.
And now.
What's up, boys? How you guys doing?
I'm good.
I don't know why I sound like a cowboy there, but how you doing?
Is it because they're on the Western road trip?
You think you could sound like one? I think so. I'm feeling the West in me today, so.
on a steel horse I ride?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Bon Jovi's coming out with a new album and maybe on tour.
Don't get us started on that. I'm doing pretty good. My better half is on vacation down south with her best friend, so I have the whole place to myself. Taking good care of it. I do miss her, but I enjoy the peace and quiet from time to time.
Sure, you're saying this on a recording. I get it. Yeah. Wink, wink.
I'm not too worried about her listening to this. And if she does, well, I'll hear it and I'll face the music. But just finished my work week. So looking forward to enjoying the next couple of days off because playing hockey on the weekdays at 10 p.m. and then having to wake up at around 6 for your work day. It takes a toll on the body and the mind. So I'm happy to be having the next couple of days off from work.
Nice. Enjoy. Yeah. Enjoy the time alone. Enjoy the peace and quiet.
I will. Oh, trust me, I will.
You mean you already are?
I already am, and
we're digging a hole for Sammy. And if our wives and girlfriends are listening to this, we're just digging our own holes. So I think we should just move on to Chris. How are you doing? Are you alone? Are you
girlfriend's over in the other room? But she's
look at the disappointment in his face.
No, I can't. That was just a little itch that I was scratching there. But Everything's going very well, very busy. Seems as though today I found out that I just have another travel destination to go to. So I basically have to do Vancouver, Halifax, Toronto, all within the next few weeks. So just work and more work and traveling. And then you ask me to go play golf and my heart sinks because God knows when I'm going to have the chance to do that. But
yes,
we'll fit it in.
I mean, I don't know if golf season is around the corner because it's the first day of spring and we just got our winter that we never fucking got all winter.
Yeah, today was bloody fucking
disgusting.
Cold.
Disgusting.
It was weird. This weather's weird. Yeah, maybe it has to do with the carbon tax that Canada's going to get soon. Anyways.
Let's not get it. Okay, so perfect transition to the episode. So before we get things started, as you all know, this episode is sponsored by Quick Feet. Quick Feet offers the simplest, most effective way to customize your skates, ensuring you're perfectly positioned for every pivot and turn when making plays. Simply slide one, two, three Quick Feet inserts in with your existing insoles, giving you more power and stability on the ice. Whether you're competing on the highest level, skating as a hobby, or guiding others as a coach, Quick Feet will provide the ultimate enhancement for anyone looking to maximize their performance. Head over to Quick Feet, Q U U QWIKFEET. So I'm going to say that again. QWIKFEET.com. Now, to unlock a 10% discount with a promo code CurfewBoys10. Again, promo code CurfewBoys10 will give you a 10% discount and skate into a new era of on-ice performance. Elevate your game with Quick Feet, where every stride counts. Sammy, have you used them yet?
I used them this week, back-to-back nights, and I no way in hell was it a placebo effect. This was actually, it worked. And this time around, I actually used two soles instead of three. The first time I tried it, I'd used three. This time I used two, and I honestly played like one of my best games, too. And I'm being 1,000% honest.
I mean, so, yeah. I'm looking forward to trying them. I'm still waiting for my parents. Then.
Yeah, I know. I think I might be able to drop them off to you this weekend, to be 100% honest. But yeah, Quick Feet, Q-U-U, not W, two U's.
I said W.
I-K feet. You said double U's as in double.
Oh,
but not as in W, the letter W as in double.
We're confusing U's. All our fans. So yeah, Q-U-U, so it's like the double.
It's right here. It's written right there on the bottom bar of our screen. And yeah, man, I'm loving this product.
I'm dying to try them. Yeah, I got myself.
I gotta get a few months.
Oh my god, I was over there, and they couldn't give. But
Sam has no excuse. Sammy has no excuse now. His girlfriend is out of town, so he has free time on his hands.
It's so funny because Chris was over during the Calgary game before when we started talking about the Western road trip. But like, he was over on Saturday for the St. Paddy's parade here in the town of Hudson. And it completely, I don't know if it was the alcohol, it was the chicken wings that we ate. It was the hockey game. I seriously don't know
because even our girlfriends were just like, what the hell is going on? Sammy and I were just like, let's go out. We got to go. They were there like nestled up on the sofa relaxing. And Sammy and I are just like, we're doing the round of every single bar in this town, even though there are not that many bars. We literally bar hop for the first time. It's like a 10 year flashback.
My condo is literally in the middle of all three or four bars, pubs in this town. Like, I'm literally in like the center core. To the north of me, to the south of me, there's a bar. To the east of me, there's a bar. And to the west is and then to the east, there's two bars. So Chris and I were like, yeah, screw it. Like, they're literally a hop, skip, and a jump away. 2 minute walk, not even for all of them. And so just one night, but we didn't get too crazy. It was a good night. It was a very responsible, well controlled. But it was St. Paddy's Day, so everybody's Irish.
Very tasteful. Paddy's Day.
Very, very tasteful.
Very tasteful. We were probably the one, like, two of the only sober people in the whole town.
Yeah,
and, probably. Our girlfriends
too were sober. They weren't drunk.
Yeah, well, they stayed back. They were nice and relaxed. But you know, you're bringing us away from the whole sponsorship discussion.
All that to say is I completely forgot to give you your Quick Feet insoles.
Well, I have brand new CCM FT4, formerly like $1,000 skates. You know, they're a few generations older now. They're up to the FT6. It goes FT4, then they upgrade the tax. Then they went to FT6, but I have brand spanking new FT4s, sharpened, ready to go, molded, and I'm really curious. I cannot wait, and I'll have to get back on this front because I really want to give my skates a try, brand new with and without the Quick Feet product. So I'm really, really, really hoping to get maybe some feedback to all of our listeners and just further encourage. Look, if Sammy's playing his best games, also for the general understanding of performance, you know, brand new skate, what do you prefer right out of the gate? What do you want to stick with? Obviously, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'll give it to you soon. Oh, you could come over if you want. I got the place to myself, so. Awesome.
Let's game on Saturday.
It's a family invite. This is a family show. So yeah, no game on Saturday, which you could come on Sunday if you want. The Western road trip.
One second before we get into hockey, we're in training right now. You and myself guaranteed. I don't know, Ants and the rest of the team, the Curfew Boys probably as well, but you and I are in training and you don't even know it.
Yeah,
in training for
For a summer hockey league. That
No. We're not training for summer hockey league. We're doing the complete inverse.
Oh, okay.
We're training for Easter. We got the belly going and getting ready for getting ready to pack away the goddamn 5 pounds of lasagna and then everything else to come with.
That's very true. I might have an idea of something that we could do that'll be funny, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's get Easter.
Easter Sundays for Italians is like the biggest feast of all time aside from Christmas. So I can't wait for that.
It starts on Good Friday, which is only fish for me. I don't know about you guys if you follow that. And then you
guys. I'm allergic to fish, so I eat the rest of the stuff.
And Saturday eat all day, Sunday eat all day, and then maybe the Monday for the leftovers. But now we're getting our fans hungry, and let's get into our beloved Habs now that we're in the West Coast. I think the game tonight starts at 10 p.m., so that's about an hour and a half from this moment. If you're listening to this tomorrow morning, well, the game already had passed, and we probably lost another game. But so far, I mean, we're happy. I mean, look, we played so far. The Flames got demolished 5-2. And then we played the Edmonton Oilers, which that was not bad of a game. But we ended it 3-2 in shootout.
Overtime.
In overtime. But it was a good fight, right? We were down 2-0 and came back. So,
and we lost overtime with a man down. With Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Yeah,
we'll get into that also for the controversy calls and stuff.
With 15 seconds left, like to think that there's only 15 seconds remaining on a 4-on-3 power play with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, like Chris said. And that game demonstrated that, again, this team is on a level of like compete that... This is the, now we're seeing the glimmer of hope of like how competitive this team can be when they really grow and mature together. Yeah. Okay, there's still lots of work to be done, but when you're losing in overtime against the top teams like Tampa Bay, you know, you're losing 2-1 against Boston, you're losing 3-2 against the Oilers in overtime. These are all overtime. Not to debate about the whole loser point, put in the Florida Panthers in there too. It's a good sign. This is a very good sign. I look at that as a positive. Mm-hmm. I look at that as a glass half full. For the ones that are for tanking, maybe that loser point, it's something that you don't want to see or like, but it is what it is. Teams are not going to give up. Now, the Western road trip started with a bit of like some bad news about Marty St. Louis having to leave the team for an undetermined period of time. There was some... I guess David Savard, he accidentally spilled the beans just because, you know, he said that we want to win this game for his son in French on Saturday. And when he said that, then now the rumor, you know how the rumor mills are with this team on social media. Obviously, something happened to his son. We don't know the details. We don't want to know the details. You know, Marty St. Louis and his family wanted to keep things private. We'll respect their privacy. We hope his son is okay. We hope the entire family is okay. And whatever they're going through, hopefully they get through it. And, you know, obviously family is a lot more important than the game of hockey. So, it's when you know, you're a young team like that and you look up to your coach and then you have to see him leave a little bit before the game starts. Maybe a couple of hours that before the game started. It was the same day that it was announced. So, like, it's hard to stay mentally focused for a game. You know, Trevor Letowski now takes over as the interim head coach. And I could understand why the Canadians lost 5-2. And even at that, it's not like the entire game they were out of it. They were competing against, you know, the Calgary Flames. And it took one stupid penalty that, and when I say stupid penalty, it was a stupid call. The act of the penalty itself was not stupid. And I'm wondering if you guys and the audience knows what I'm talking about. And it's a subject later on this episode that we need to talk about. This league needs to figure out how the fuck to determine what is goalie interference and what is not, okay? That play where Slafkovský got pushed into the Calgary Flames goaltender. It gets called for goalie interference. Calgary scores on the power play, and then just they took the rest of the game and ran with it. This league doesn't know what to do with these goaltender interference, but yet they're coming up with, you know, new rules that we could add to the coaches challenges list. You could challenge a high stick, and you could challenge a delay of gameplay. But this whole goaltender interference thing, like, it's getting fucking annoying. Like, and the worst part of it all is I don't think a lot of people remember there was a previous play prior to that. Somebody skated into Sam Montembeau, or no, it wasn't Sam Montembeau. Sorry, excuse me. It was Caden Primo in net. My bad. Somebody skated into him, knocked him over. There was no call. A minute or two later, not even, Slafkovský goes into the goalie accidentally, because he didn't even skate into him. It was the defender that pushed him into it. Goalie interference penalty. I don't get this shit anymore. I really fucking don't. And
it goes back to the inconsistency of the refs. We spoke about it so many times. But it keeps happening,
though. Like,
it's not changing.
So annoying.
Didn't they announce this week or last week the new rules for challenging?
Yeah, so the GMs now, they're in sunny Florida, Anthony, living your dream. And now there's two new rules came out, but with coaches challenges rules, okay? So if you feel like your player got high-sticked and the refs didn't call it, you can challenge it. Now, if the call is not correct, not only does your player get penalized, but so does the team. So if you get the coaches challenge wrong, you get a 4-minute power play. No, excuse me. It becomes a 5-on-3.
Oh, wow. It's a double penalty.
Double penalty. Same thing.
My understanding was that it was a 4-minute, but if you're saying it's two separate penalties, it's a bench minor for, let's say, delay of game.
And then the player itself that's involved. So,
but at the same time, I think it's a pretty fair, like, where it's going to get really hectic is if they say it's accidental high sticking, they would have to have something in place that accidental high sticking, but again, accidental high sticking or follow through or something like that. But I think if they're going to challenge it, I mean, they've got the video coaches. If they're going to challenge it, they're going to challenge it for the right reason.
But hold on.
They got high stick.
But that discipline, I'm okay with it. And the reason why I'm saying 100%. That is because they are, again, this generation of hockey is fast hockey, right? It all changed when they removed the double lines, the two-line pass,
and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they want the game to go fast, right? And with adding all these challenges, it's going to slow down the game again, right? So guess what? Instead of adding these challenges, let's do it because we want to make the game as fair as possible. But it's going to make the coach and the team think twice to challenge it because, hey, if I'm wrong, there's a double penalty, which if that's not the discipline to it, then everybody's going to call fucking challenges every 2 seconds and the game's going to slow down, right? So I'm all for penalizing the team that's wrong because it'll make the team second guess.
And not kill the momentum of the game too. Like not only do they want the speed of the game to continue to go fast, but like just the overall momentum of the game itself to just keep going.
Yep.
I agree with that. I do, but I'm also thinking like the coaches challenge on goaltender interference, is coaches challenge on offside. Now it's you want to make it fair, but at some point, I remember Chris saying this once a while back. Now, like at one point, like what are the refs there for? Like, can we not allow human error once in a while not take over the game, but like be part of the game? You know, if the puck can bounce off the ref and the play is not dead, like, you get what I'm saying? I want to jump in
because I did say, to a certain degree, I would like to have that human error in our game, and I appreciate that. However, I'm going to ease back into the original question and the goaltender interference and what happened in the Calgary game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to outright say it. it seems as though the teams that are at the bottom of the standings are getting penalized more frequently. And the refs don't give a crap about a team that's completely out of a playoff spot, not fighting. Honest to God, if you go read some of the comments, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Everybody thinks that their team, no matter whether it be Montreal Canadiens fans or any other fans for any other team, they usually feel as though their team has been wrongly penalized or they didn't get the calls that they deserve to go on the power play. But one thing is certain, if you take that call from the Calgary game, that's just nonsensical. It has no place in the game. And maybe, just maybe, they're saying, well, Slapkovsky, you're a big guy, you should get pushed. But I mean, you get pushed from the back.
You're gliding on ice. You're gliding.
Exactly. I'm not justifying the call. I really am not justifying the call. I'm just saying the only logical thing that would go through my mind to say, hey, we're penalizing you, Slapkovsky, you're a big guy, you didn't try as hard as you could have to stop before entering into contact with the goalie. But that put us, I don't think that's the case. I think that call was full of shit. I think there are double standards. I think that it's not even consistent within the same game. And I'm, again, reiterating that there is a tendency for the teams that are lower in the standings that are not truly battling for the playoff spot to be penalized more severely and not get power plays as easily. And that's all I have to say about that. As for that particular call, just absolutely ridiculous. And again, Calgary went on to score within, I think it was like 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. That
power play.
My point on it, like I get what you're saying before about having the human error in the game. What I disagree about that statement is that, look, I don't want the game to slow down for sure. None of us do. I mean, already we have sports like football, for example, which is already a slow game itself, right? And I mean, I like it because there's a lot of strategy behind it, whatever. But when it comes to hockey, it's the back and forth. You want that. It's fun to watch. It's entertaining. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to these calls, a bad call can change the whole script of the game. Okay? Momentum wise, you know, it can cost us a point to make the playoffs or not make the playoffs, whatever case may be. Standings, it can cost a lot. So I'm all for, you know, having these challenges because as you can see, and you said it before, Sam, like we're all frustrated with this inconsistency of calls, right? So when you start missing them because of human error and you don't challenge it or call it, again, it costed us against Calgary, right? That wrong penalty just turned the whole game upside down. We lost momentum and then the game was over. I mean, in today's standings, we're okay with that as fans because we don't care. We want to lose.
Yeah,
but imagine that could have been a game that we needed to win to build that momentum to, you know, make the playoffs or wild card type. So I'm all for I don't agree with the statement of human error because if it's against us, well, then it's going to...
Yeah, I know, but just Chris, let me just say this. I get what you're saying, Ant, and absolutely, that it goes without saying that. But if anything, like, that wasn't a missed call. This was a call given to that did not... was not deserved.
Yeah, okay. No. But I get
that part can be the human error. But if we have to live with an error of a penalty given, should we not live with a penalty that wasn't given? My point in all this is, if you can challenge offsides, whether it was like if you could challenge that they missed an offside, okay. Like let me rephrase it. If you can't challenge any penalty now, except for a high stick, but if you can't challenge any penalty, I don't see why you should be able to challenge whether it was an offside or not. That's also my point.
All across the board. If you're gonna challenge everything,
you want to challenge goaltender interference, fine. But like I don't know, man. Like they keep adding all these things, and it's like
take it all across the board. Look,
yeah,
everything is challengeable. Just that it's gonna cost you a double minor or a 5-on-3. That's all. Just make it easy.
Go, Chris. Yeah,
but it's in my books, it's two completely different things. You challenge goaltender interference usually when there's a goal that actually went in. I'm gonna go back to Montreal playing Vegas when we had some of the most atrocious reffing in the playoffs, the Stanley Cup semifinals. Remember when Corey Perry changed the rules? They changed the rules already. If there's blood, if there's a potential for a 4-minute double minor, they already allow for the review. So that to me was sufficient. I don't know why they're going a step above, but the one thing that is a saving grace is when we're going to have a guy like Chris Lee, who's going to be reffing. And statistically speaking, Chris Lee completely destroys us every time we have him as a ref. There are losing percentages at its absolute highest. But that being said, it's a way that maybe they're giving back to the fans in a certain sense to make sure that they keep the refs accountable. But again, it's not for reacting. I'd say it could either be. Again, you keep your refs in check, but how many times if a guy gets high stick, that's a brutal amount of pain. The play goes the other way, they score a goal. You might have goals now rather than it being a call back for, let's say, goaltender interference or something like that. If there's a high stick and it led to a counterattack, an unfair advantage to the other team, I'm actually not in favor of being able to go back and review a potential missed call. But keep in mind what it's going to have a significant impact.
But look what happened to Yoel Armia against the Oilers.
Like the huge slash. I'm thinking of another game.
Like, man, he's skating center ice. Adam Henrik passes him, but Evander Kane bumps into him. Fuck it! Armia's stick got wedged, knocks Adam Henrik in the face. He's bleeding. 4 minutes, like. Is it a high stick? Yeah, technically, yes, but there was no intention. Like, if you're trying to lift a guy's stick, you miss and you nudge him in the face, that's high stick. If you're skate, like, you know, you're trying to, I don't know, if you cross-check him, you want to hit him, but you cross-checked him a little bit too high, you hit him in the face, yeah, that's high stick. Not if, like, you're not skating, you're not looking at the player, you get, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is Yoel Armia supposed to do there? What are you supposed to do there?
Oh, you know what they're going to say? I completely agree, and that was a bullshit call, but they're going to say, well, you have to be in control of your stick. You should have had two hands on your stick, and you should have had it down.
I agree with that. That play was horrible because he got pushed into it. But then I get the other side. No, I don't get it because he's not pushing. But, like, you know, you see some high sticks where there's the follow-through that I always, till this day, I always fucking scream at the TV when this is called because...
Yeah, the follow-through, too. If anything, that one, yes, you should control your stick a little bit more. But if you're trying to clear the puck and, like, you're not even looking at your opponent coming after you...
But then this is where judgment comes into play and it can cost, you know, this inconsistency, right? Like... I guess they have to make it, you know, standard for every single high stick because if we're going to take that away, right, of the follow through, then you'll be like, okay, well, did he do it purposely? I get maybe the refs are just trying to standardize everything so it doesn't.
They can't make exceptions. I do see that point too. I really do. It's just.
It sucks.
Oh my God.
We all get mad at the. Yeah, it's funny, right? We all hate the penalty of delay of game when the puck goes over the boards, right? We all hate that fucking play. But when it's on us, against us, we're like, yeah, fuck it, 2 minutes, let's do it. You know?
Yeah,
like,
no, but honestly, look, am I crazy about the delay of game penalty?
No, I hate it.
No, not really. But like, honest, but at the same time, too, it's like, it kind of makes sense that if you're under pressure in your own zone, and you know, like instead of like icing it, you could clear the puck out of play, and you could get a change because if you do ice it, you won't be able to. I get that penalty, like I understand that.
You're gonna just have fans losing deep in the stands, left, right, and center.
Talking about missed penalties and bad penalties, trying to pinpoint when it was exactly, but I know it costed us.
Yeah, 2006 playoffs against Carolina when Justin Williams fucking takes Saku Koivu's eye out.
Oh, let me know. That's a can of worms. That was a I pissed. Oh, I hate
if
that.
If Joey's hearing this, I probably just broke his heart right now, and that broke my. And I know that because I was there. I saw it live in front of my fucking eyes.
Changed the whole outcome of the series. Carolina win. Ward.
Canadians were up 2-0 in the series. That happens. Forget it. Like,
no, but I'm talking about the I think it was against Ottawa. It's coming to me. And they kicked the puck in the net and scored in overtime. That cost us a point to go to playoffs. Just something like that. Do you guys remember that? I remember I caused a rant on Facebook. It was one of my memories not long ago. And I'm like, I didn't know that you can play soccer in a game of hockey. And they scored. I think it was a playoff game because it can be Ottawa if it was a playoff game because we never played Ottawa in playoffs.
Well, it could have been. Well, they played them in 2014 or something.
Ottawa, Montreal.
Yeah, there was the Canadians lost in the first round. Yeah.
Oh, that series there. Yes. So it was Ottawa. Okay, I'm like, I don't remember Ottawa and Montreal, but yes. Okay, so it was Ottawa, Montreal, 2014. There was a specific
game. I don't know if it was 2014 exactly, but it was around there.
So yeah, there was a game. And Ottawa scored with, like, literally kicked the puck into the net and won the game. And they counted it. They didn't even review it, nothing. And I remember it was a whole big Facebook.
Was it not Zibanejad who kicked it in? Like, it looked like a distinct kicking motion. Yeah. It's starting to come back to me. I'm 90% sure it was Zibanejad.
It was back in the
first round, and I think it was when they decimated us, when they had the whole line brawl, Ryan White and everything. Like, it was that series where Brandon Prust said, "You bug-eyed fat walrus," about their coach. I'm pretty sure it was Zibanejad.
Oh, we won that series. Okay, but anyways, we ended up winning that series.
In 2013, the Canadiens lost to the Ottawa Senators.
So
yeah, it was in 2015. We won. In 2013, 2015, the Canadiens won. I think. Anyways, no, but yeah, you know, one call goal I remember was when the Canadiens beat the Bruins in 2008, and then faced the Flyers. I forgot who it was for the Flyers, but he ended up scoring a goal. Like, the puck was in the air, he tried to get it with his hand. He tried to bat it downwards. He did bat it downwards and ended up going the net, and they counted. The goal counted. And I think
if it was that series, it was probably RJ Umberger. Christ, that guy decided to be Gretzky that series.
I don't know if it was in 2008 or if it was in 2010. In the Eastern Conference Finals, when the Canadians, it wasn't 2008. It was 2010 when the Canadians beat Washington and Pittsburgh. Again, he ended up scoring with his fucking hand. Might as well play handball at that fucking point. But anyways, all that to say is this story is never going to end. With the inconsistency and the missed call. Like, it's never going to end. And as long as this game keeps going, like, I could guarantee the next season of the Curfew Boys is going to be at least another minimum 5 episodes where we're going to fucking talk about the refs and the inconsistency and all that. Just well, to add in here.
We didn't talk much this year about the play.
Let's add in one more missed call. The game against the Rangers where I don't know if it was Chris Kreider, but who was the Rangers player that ended up fucking dragging Carey Price out of his crease? Do you guys remember that?
Yes, I was screaming.
I couldn't believe it. And they ended up scoring, and that counted. You know what I mean? Like, there I would use the fucking coach's challenge, but I don't think it existed at that time. If everybody knows which play I'm talking about, everybody knows which play I'm talking about. Just fucking, might as well just grab Carey Price from his skate. Just drag him out of the crease. Here you go. Open net, scores. Anyways, thank God I'm not a ref. Thank God I didn't choose that profession.
A lot of pressure on you, that's for sure.
Exactly. I want to ask you guys this question, though. I want to go back to a bit like the Canadians now without Marty. I truly think that really opens up the door for a guy like Nick Suzuki to really step up as the captain and as a leader.
100%.
I really think this gives him opportunity to actually have a, I think he doesn't have a voice, but I think now more than ever, like, now's a good time for him to maybe have a little bit more of a voice in the dressing room. I don't know what you guys think about that. And he's, listen, he has a career high now in goals with 27. So
three more to 30.
So, and he has one more goal than Connor McDavid. I'm just saying Connor McDavid's at 26. Nick Suzuki is at 27. But yet, something, Nick Suzuki is not a legit first line centerman. But that's another debate. However, I really think
Connor McDavid didn't hit 30 yet. That's really off season.
It's just he's passing the puck nonstop. He's got over 100. I think he's gonna hit 100 apples this season, which
is impressive.
That's crazy. But back to your question, Sam. And then guys, I unfortunately need to drop this episode, but you guys can continue. I won't tell you guys, the fans, the reason why I'm dropping, because
it's all good.
So to answer that question, I think this, I mean, it sucks the reason behind all this, right? Like, it sucks that, you know, what Marty is going on and with his family and stuff. And again, we all wish him the best. But this is the perfect time for a young player in the dressing room to step up his presence in the dressing room. And like you said before, I think he already has it. I mean, they give him the C for a reason. The team respects him and loves him. But these are the right situations to really show who you are and what you're capable of doing and owning that C. Especially that Marty is a young coach as well. So when you have like a young coach and a young player who's a captain, you know, it's very difficult to stand out, right? Your coach is always going to stand out. But now, I think this is the best time for Suzuki to shine in the dressing room.
But I actually like what Trevor Letowski, how the little few press conferences I heard him, like, he sounds very similar to Marty.
Mm-hmm.
I really think, you know, not many people really talk much about the relationship amongst coaches, unless, you know, there's a special press release like that you see on either Twitter or any social media. But like, the vocabulary is very similar between Letowski and Marty. I don't know if you guys noticed.
No, I did.
And to me, what that tells me is that I really think Marty and Letowski are on the same page in terms of maybe how they view the game and how they want this team to play. And this is not a shot on Burrows, not even close, but it's just because we're hearing Letowski speak a little bit more. I know Burrows had a conference spoke as well, but I just truly think that Trevor Letowski, I think that's the reason why they gave the interim tag to Letowski, because maybe they have same vocabulary, same vision in terms of how they see the game and how they want this team to play. I think that's pretty cool.
You can clearly see that with the fight against Edmonton, right? Like, that they didn't give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Calgary game, whatever, we got destroyed. But again, maybe mentally they weren't all there because of what happened and how it was Calgary, right? Mentally, you know, they were all distracted of what happened. It was probably an hour before the game, 2 hours before the game. It's only normal you go on the ice and, you know, with this news, your game is different. But against Edmonton, I'm sorry, but you said it, Sam. I think they both see the same vision because the team were still fighting as if Marty is there. Look, we saw that in the past where Ducharme, I know I don't want to bring up his name because I hated him, but when he left, the team played even better for Richardson, right? Fuck, I can't forget his name.
Yeah, Luke Richardson.
Luke Richardson, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell that they didn't want to play for Ducharme. They were playing for Richardson and for the team, right? So, you know, Marty leaving, you would expect the team to fall apart. And though they lost two games, it didn't show much on the ice. You know what I mean? Like, they really showed that they were still competing. And that's the vision of Marty. So I agree with your statement, Sam. On that note, I'm going to drop. You guys can continue this conversation to all listeners out there until next time. But you guys can continue.
Thanks, you guys. We'll talk later. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yes, sir. Bye, guys.
Ciao, bud. So
I guess on my side of things, like, just to answer that question, I'll make a joke out of it, but maybe Trevor Letowski, who's doing a lot of video work, maybe he was the one who saw the most of Marty speaking, so he was able to replicate what Marty yeah, does.
The only thing he doesn't have I call the Marty Martyisms,
yeah, the analogies and the analogies metaphors and everything.
Exactly, but at the end of the day, yeah, no, I agree with you.
And as far as the, just to answer the other the initial question, Nick Suzuki, is it an opportunity for him to really stand up and really put his leadership stamp on it? I don't think it's an opportunity. I think it's a must.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, various members of the team, coaching staff, evidently included, had said, like, Nick Suzuki is really just, he does everything right. And I'll go as far as saying, like, even the way I see him, he's a very calming presence, whether it be, I'm going to direct it to on ice. I think he is the same way off the ice. I think he's just a very stable and calm guy. But Nick Suzuki, with Marty not being there, I think Marty's one of those pillars that keeps the team in check. If they start falling too far one way or the other way and they're getting out of balance or there's something that's wrong, if they're too high or they're too low, I think Marty's there to balance them in that sense. And I think Nick Suzuki, at this point in time, he does, or he has that effect, I think, on the guys. And in that sense, it's he's going to have to keep them stable. He's going to have to keep them grounded. He's going to have to keep them, I guess, responsible. I think we have a group that's fairly responsible on the overall, but it's just, you know, get back to the basics, make sure that we're doing everything from the basics well. And yeah, he has to. He's not an overwhelmingly, they say he's not an overwhelmingly vocal guy, but I think maybe now I'm not saying there's a void, but maybe now he speaks up a little bit more.
Yeah, but that's why that's why I'm saying that. Yeah. No, it's you know what I mean? Like I truly think like he's just now. Do you remember when Marty said that he's just scratching? We're wondering if he's still scratching the surface. Like, I think he has now. And I think he's there's no stopping him. I've said this before I'll say this again. Like, he's our Patrice Bergeron. And I don't think anybody within this organization or within the fan base should be disappointed about that. Jeff Gorton, the other day, he was on a podcast with Pierre Maguire and, oh my God, forgive me for forgetting his name, but he covers mostly the Boston Bruins, and he says, like, you watch Nick Suzuki play. For those that get to watch Nick Suzuki play night in and night out, they're very lucky because he's a special player. He really is. Like, his two way game is phenomenal. His face-off is much better than I thought he'd ever get. I'm not saying he'll be Patrice Bergeron face-off winning percentage numbers, but it's just he's got the complete game, and he's leading the team. He's leading the team in goals, leading the team in points. He's leading the team everywhere, all across the board. Like,
and it's no Canadians fans are gonna maybe get angry at me, but no disrespect to Patrice Bergeron, because Patrice Bergeron deserves to stand alone. But the analogy in comparison to Patrice Bergeron is well deserved. And you just hit the nail on the head.
Models his game after him.
But he's and the other element too is when you say he's scratching the surface, I genuinely think he's just scratching the surface. I think we're looking at a guy who's now going to be for the next 5, maybe, and hopefully 6 seasons, we're going to be looking at a guy who's an 80-point player plus. Mm-hmm. But it's just there are so many facets to his game. He's on the power play. He's on the penalty kill. He's there in overtime. He's there for shootouts. He's got all the vision in the world to make the right passes. Mm-hmm. He's got a great shot. He's honestly one of, and I hope we as fans realize what we have. We might not have the Connor McDavid racing up the ice, dancing through every single one of the players and potting as many goals and potting as many points, but Nick Suzuki, especially with what he's doing and what he's becoming, is exactly what you need to win a cup.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, like, again, we're looking at some, like, Connor McDavid scoring record amount of points. You have, and it kind of surprised me, I look at Alex Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin never scored 70 goals. Auston Matthews might reach 70 goals this season. Good for him, mustache man. But I honestly, I'm going to go back to another point. I keep saying I'm going back to a point, but I'm going to go back to one last thing.
Do another lap.
You know, I don't know. Call me just somebody who's daydreaming in their car. I do a lot of driving into the city. You see the Tour des Canadiens and the Bell Center. Have a lot of my clients, or one particular client who's close by. And every time I'm driving in, like, have my routine of saying, like, good morning or good afternoon, Montreal. But the more, and I think about the hockey team, it's right there in your face as you're driving down the Ville-Marie. I genuinely, with the pieces that we have in play, the draft picks that we have up and coming, the defensive core, what it could look like in a few years, and in particular, Nick Suzuki, maybe I'm just a daydreamer, call me crazy or whatever, but I genuinely think we're getting dangerously close to having all the key pieces, and they continue panning out like Nick Suzuki's panning out. If Caulfield gets continues to become a more well-rounded player and continues potting in the goals, call me crazy, and like I said, call me a biased Homer Habs fan, but I think we're dangerously close to having all the pieces to winning the cup. And I could actually envision, for the first time in a long time, not on a fluke run, not on Carey Price saving our asses and stealing the show, I genuinely think we're inching closer, and sooner rather than we think, to truly being competitive. And that's the point that I'm going back to. We are competitive. We are a team that battles with the best of them. We don't have all of our shit figured out just yet, but I'm telling you, with the mindset of our coaches, you see the personality now more with Letowski, and we're diving into a million different things that we've already discussed, but I think we're closer than we think. Not in terms of we're actually there and performing. We're not there and performing, but the let's call it the infrastructure, the team.
I think they got exactly who they want on this roster in terms of the future core. I think they got that. They're just waiting for them to be NHL ready. And we're going to talk about a specific player after this little session that we got going on here that's going to be part of the future piece. But yeah, I totally do agree with you. I really think I think they do have the pieces, but yeah, go. I gotta get this out of your system.
I needed to throw those flowers towards Nick Suzuki, because
he's the focal point.
I think he's above what I thought he was able to do all around. He's got to work on his plus minus, but in all honesty, the entire team has to, but that's this year.
He's getting matched up against the top guys, and you need him to get matched up against the top guys to really see if he can handle that responsibility. And he could the game against the Leafs, he kept Auston Matthews at bay.
Well, not only did he keep Auston Matthews at bay, I want to go back to another game against the top team in the league, the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. When Montreal was down and losing, there was a gut feel like, who's going to get us out of the situation? Who's going to turn the game around? Obviously, there was an incredible pass from Slafkovský back to Suzuki, but no shit. Guess who it is? It's Suzuki who gets us back into the game and gets us back. He is there. He is our go-to. I've spoken about this since the beginning of the podcast 4 years ago. 4 years ago. Crazy, but yeah. all that to say that we always said we don't have that player that we can throw on at any given point in the time. That we can throw on the ice at any given point in time and say, we need you to take control of this game. Shit. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Suzuki's
he's doing exactly that. And that's why, like, it's mind-boggling because, it, like you said, the scratching the surface, getting to that point, he's genuinely getting to a point where he's single-handedly impacting the game and whether or not we're competing in it, whether or not we're dominating it. And again, everybody's going to have their bad games. And when Nick Suzuki has a bad game, God help us if the rest of the team doesn't show up. And usually, and it's not a question of Nick Suzuki not showing up. He shows up. Just sometimes it doesn't go his way. The defense has a good game every once in a while. The other team have good games. You got to give credit.
But it's rare, though. Like, I can only think of one game this season where it was like, yeah, it's not working for him. And it,
I agree.
And so we talk about him, Suzuki, being the focal point of this team, and especially on the offense. I think right behind him, it could be close between Caulfield, and I'm so happy he scored his 20th, got the monkey off his back against the Flames. Mm-hmm. It could be Slafkovský. It could be Kirby Dach. It could be whoever we draft this year. That's the forward group. To me, on defense, I really want to see Caden Gooley be that. And I understand he's under the shadows of Mike Matheson for now, and I'm happy they're paired together.
For now.
But I'm curious to know where Caden Gooley and how he would look if he was playing on his left side instead of on the right. So happy he scored at home in Edmonton. You know, he's got history. He's from there. Finished his junior career with the Edmonton Oil Kings. They play there. He won there. So it was like a perfect story for him to score that goal. It was a beautiful goal. And from time to time, you see these little shades of offense from Caden Gooley. But I really think a guy like him too, he's still trying to figure out his place on the team. Perfectly fine. He's not even played I'm not sure if he's played 100 games, to be 100% honest. Hold on a sec. I have the stat right here. He's still young in his career, right? So he's still trying to figure out his place in the league. 108 games. There you go. There. So it's perfect. 34 points, 5 goals this year. That's a career high for him as well. But him too, though, like when he reaches his prime, I think him too, he's got to be that other voice in the locker room for this team. I really want him to get the A on his jersey and be, in terms of the leadership role, I really think he could be Suzuki's right-hand man.
I 1,000% agree. Everybody, this is the 20th time we say it, but very similar, I think, character to that of Shea Weber. I think he's a little bit more lively. He's a little bit younger and more outgoing than Shea Weber. You see him at the events and everything like that, but 100% the temperament, but like the business.
Serious mode.
Business like, and seriousness like game and face, like game mental face, toughness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's that. Caden Gooley has shades of Shea Weber. 100%, and he was a captain. He was captain of the Team Canada World Juniors before it got canceled because of COVID. He's just a natural born leader. And again, as much as there's a daydreaming of having a Caulfield wearing an A, I think that Gooley is more qualified to be an assistant captain by far.
I think Caulfield could get it too. I don't think he can get it too.
I definitely think Caulfield could get it too, but I'm just saying like leadership qualities. I think Caulfield, just go out and do your thing. Use that number 22, channel your inner Steve Shutt, score as many goals as you can. Focus on doing that. Don't worry about having to answer. I think Caden Gooley takes that pressure a little bit better than Caulfield.
Yeah, totally. Did you see what Pierre Maguire said about Caden Gooley? He said, like he's got to be untouchable for the Canadians. That's how important he will be for this team in the future when it comes down to competing for a playoff spot. This guy is untouchable. I'm just saying, you know, it's another Marc Bergevin pick. Okay, we got to talk about this player. Last session of the episode, David Reinbacher is finally in North America. Joined the Laval Rocket. He's practicing. He got here on Monday, already in the team picture, which I thought was hilarious. Like you didn't even start your North American pro days yet, and you're already in the team picture. But it's so awesome to see. And I'm so happy for the kid. that I'm happy that he's in our hands now, finally. But I still think, you know, the Laval Rocket, they're fighting for a playoff spot. I really think Habs fans, like always, need to manage their expectations for this kid. I think a lot of people are claiming him to be the savior of this team since he's a defenseman. And I don't know if I'm saying a lot of people. I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are just excited to see him in the Laval Rocket jersey, rightfully so. My expectations for him are this. It's like, all I want him to do is just defend. I don't care about points. I don't care if a goal from the point, he gets assists, he gets power play points. That's the cherry on top. All I want this kid to do is be physical in his own end and being able to clear the puck out. You know, if he can block shots, great. If he can make that first pass out of the zone, great. That's all I want him to do. That's my expectations of him, is that he is capable of doing that. That's all I want for him to do. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I'm pretty much at the same level. I just want him to be able to do the basics half decently. Obviously, you're hoping for some signs of genuinely able, like, I don't want to say a star player, but you want to see signs of somebody who might be, you know, just a step above the average player.
Someone that was drafted fifth overall, kind of sense. Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. I hope you see flashes of it, and I'm not counting on him to take over the game. And I'm gonna say it again, as a fan base who had the privilege of seeing Slafkovský come out of his shell.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ryan Backer has a very similar temperament. I think he's gonna have to take probably more time than we think to adjust to the North American game. It's going to be much quicker. He might look a little silly out there. I'm prepared to see him look not so great. I hope fans, again, look at what happened with Slafkovský. Expect similar to happen with Ryan Backer. Please be patient. He dealt with enough. Like, obviously he saw how certain fans were disappointed. Like, please, just, it's the same thing. They're young kids. Give them their chance to settle in. Mm-hmm. But in all honesty, to you, Sam, to the rest of the Curfew Boys, and to anybody who's listening to us, I expect nothing from him. I expect him to perhaps even be scratched. He might not even be in the lineup to make playoffs, because if you want to make the playoffs and you want to get in and he's not playing particularly well, I hope people understand that they're going to prioritize a defenseman who's at ease on the back end, who's going to help them win games, not who's there to, I'm sorry to say, if it was earlier in the season, absolutely go make your mistakes and everything, but at this point in time, there's no room for mistakes. We got to make a playoff spot, and if he's not able to perform out of the lineup and at that moment in time, please, fans, let him just take a deep breath. Let him do what he's got to do. Let him just go practice and train with the other guys, and that's more than good enough.
Well, he's in the top six pairing, though. Like, he's projected to play.
I'm just saying, if ever he gets yanked from the lineup because that much smaller, he doesn't have as much time, he's fumbling the puck, he's not making the proper passes, let's say, off the boards because he's used to a different angle, he's used to more space or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Just expect him to potentially come out of the lineup because there's a higher risk of him needing more time to adapt to the North American surface.
No, I see what you mean. I really think, he's going to be okay. I don't think it could be any worse than than Kloten, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, but his Swiss league team. Like, I don't think it could be any worse than that. And even at that, they were saying, like, he was still pretty good over there. Like, they just had a terrible team, three different coaches, but apparently he was like, his work ethic was like off the charts. Somebody, like a kid that was like first on the ice, last one to leave, always in the gym, always with the coaches, like looking at video and all that. So I think he's got the work ethic. I think he's got the attitude. I definitely think he's got the character. He seems like such a good kid. And to me, he's in the lineup. Well, he's paired up with Paquet Bisson, who's going to be a mentor for him, which is fantastic. And he's taking a spot of like Matthias Norlander. That to me is a bit of a question mark here. Like, what's going to happen to Matthias Norlander, who's an RFA at the end of the season? And it's crazy to think that this kid was the last cut for the Montreal Canadiens at training camp. He had an excellent training camp.
Well, that's the difference between, let's say, an Arber Jacki and a Matthias Norlander. Arber Jacki, he openly said he had a tough time. I don't know if you saw the ESPN thing with Cole Caulfield, the 10-minute mm-hmm. interview.
I did.
Cole Caulfield even said, I had a tough time. But basically, the guys that are fit to play as true professional athletes in the highest leagues, if they get a knock and they go down and they have, like, they're able to look themselves in the mirror and get their shit together and mm-hmm. push themselves harder to get back into the good graces of the big leagues. And
Yoel Armia this year too.
Yoel Armia. Yeah, he did it. He truly did it. And you know, there was, I don't want to jump into another subject. Like, I want to keep it there, but like, I'll wrap with Norlander and I'll go back to Armia point. Norlander, I think that's a guy who's like, I deserved it. And then you go down and your work ethic is just not there. And then you slowly, like, if you're not going to work at it, if you're not going to, there's one thing I have a great, you gotta put this into the clip that gets, cause my boss will be watching. My boss tells me something.
I'll send it to your boss.
Follows the Curfew Boys.
Okay.
But there is one thing that we both agree upon. And it's one thing that, you know, I already felt, but when he said it, I said, absolutely. I'm always questioning myself. Can I do something better? Can I be better? How do I have to work to be better? And, you know, no matter how good you are, you always have to continue working at improving on yourself. Yeah. You have to do stuff smarter. You have to, you know, whatever it may be. There's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Norlander really took that approach whatsoever. Whereas the guys who came right back not long after, and I want to use the example of Armia because more than Caulfield last year, or the, sorry, 2 years ago, more than Arber, who went down for a brief stint.
I think Arber and Armia could be at that same level in terms of like being sent down. They didn't like it, but I think I agree with everything you said. There's always room to better yourself every day, but I think it comes down to attitude. And I think Yoel Armia and Arber Jacki had the right attitude. They may not have liked the initial thought that, yeah, I'm getting sent down. I mean, no player does that wants to make the NHL. But if your attitude, if you play the victim, you know, forget it. You're done. That's what happened to Rem Pitlick. If you feel like you deserve better, forget it. It's not going to happen. Already you're on the wrong track or on the wrong side of that whole attitude mentality. Whereas Arber Jacki, Yoel Armia did what you said. They looked themselves in the mirror and they're like, okay, I need to be better. And you know what? Call it what it is. It's a lot more motivating to take these luxurious air flights and eat fancy meals and stay at nice hotels than riding the bus and stay at, you know, a 3-star hotel. You know what I mean? It could be that too. Like, a lot of players admit that.
I 100% agree. And the reason I still say that Armia, I think, is a step above in terms of how difficult it must have been. Mm-hmm. Armia is a Montreal Canadian. He's not a Laval Rocky who was never expected to be a member of that right. team. Yeah. He's also a lot older. He's at mm-hmm. another stage of his career. Arber Jacki is still young enough to say, like, hey, you go down to the league. He's younger than a significant portion of the guys on that team. Whereas Armia, you come down and you're like, shit, this guy was scoring goals to go to the Stanley Cup, like, that helped Montreal Canadiens
in the final. Yes.
So yes, and Armia also embarked, and to me, the this has got to be tough mentally to accept that help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he needed that help, but he's going to a sports psychologist.
Yes,
at this point,
that
time.
Yeah, Antti and I mentioned that last episode. Yeah. That absolutely, but it's working for Caden Primo. We're not going to talk about Caden Primo. We talked about last episode, but yes, I totally agree. That's another step. What can I do to better myself? And
but can I ask you? But can I ask you? I know we're not professional athletes, but
Could you imagine being in their shoes and being like, I've always been good enough. I made it into this league on my own. Everything is fine. Do I really need a mentor? Like, there were also rumors that Josh Anderson was offered the same thing, the same service as Yoel Armia. Yoel Armia said yes. Josh Anderson apparently turned it down. And it's it can't be easy as a professional athlete to say, yeah, I'm depending on somebody to like help me with my mental side of things to play. But anyways, hats off. All I'm saying is hats off to Armia. Like, really, hats off to the guy. Love seeing it.
And you know what? Just to wrap it up with Rheinbacher again, it comes down to it's take this opportunity to really learn. Like, and he needs it. It's the smartest move the Canadiens did in terms of Rheinbacher's development. Keep him there. See how the season goes. See how it ends. And you know what? If it comes down to where the Canadiens, the Laval Rocket, whether they clinch the playoffs or not, see how he plays. I wouldn't mind giving him the final game of the year. I wouldn't mind giving him the final game of the season to play in the NHL. And I would actually throw in Logan Mailloux's name in there as well, just to see where they are. And I get it's the end of the season. It's meaningless it's going to be meaningless for the Canadiens. It might be meaningless for the Detroit Red Wings if they clinch or not. They're fighting for it too. Because imagine if Detroit, it comes down to the final game of the season after playing back-to-back, home and home series.
Yeah, there you go.
So can you imagine if Detroit has to win that final game? It's meaningless for the Canadiens, but yet they throw in these kids. They throw in Rheinbacher. They throw in Mailloux in there just to see where their game is in the show. And you're playing against a team that's desperate for a win. They're going to come out hard. They're going to compete. They're going to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I personally wouldn't mind seeing that. This is just coming from me. I actually wouldn't mind. You scratch David Savard and you scratch Kovacevic. I mean, it's not like they're not doing that already with Kovacevic. If you scratch Kovacevic and you scratch Harris, and you put those two in. I don't know. I was just there.
Please,
It's your two final call-ups. It's your two final call-ups of the season. Maybe
I hope to God, maybe. Because I'm at the game against Detroit on the 16th. I'm at the last game of the season with some of my clients. Mm-hmm. I have the privilege of actually bringing two of my representatives.
I'm tempted to buy tickets.
Oh my God! Like, I hope to God to be able to see Rheinbacher and Mailloux play for the Canadiens last game. I would, please. I hope you're right. I hope you have a crystal ball. You were just looking into it and you called it as it is, because
I'm looking at the crystal ball is Kent Hughes' shiny bald head. That's what it is. So look, we're going to wrap this up, but I have to mention another player, maybe Lane Hutson.
Oh man.
Maybe you might see Lane Hutson there. I'm just saying, he's in his NCAA playoff mode now. We might see him. We might see him sooner rather than later.
I think the Montreal Canadiens are going to there's one of two things. It's all going to depend on, it sounds so stupid, but it's all going to depend on where Detroit is, whether or not do we want to make Detroit's life difficult? Do we want to,
of course,
do we want to be the team that spoils their chances at getting into the playoffs? Do we want to make it be a little bit easier? Imagine Detroit. We play Detroit on the 15th and then the 16th. We play Detroit on the 15th and they start taking runs at our guys and doing stupid shit. I'm sorry to say, we're gonna see the regular lineup. We're gonna see the vets in and playing. But if the Detroit Red Wings are either completely disqualified, not gonna be making it in, or they have already their future is secured. They know whether they're in or they're out, and the game just has to be played as a technicality. I think at that point in time, the Montreal Canadiens organization is going to treat the fans after, let's call it a spade, a rougher year, another year that we don't make playoffs. I think the Montreal Canadiens organization goes out of their way to actually treat the fans and give them a taste of what their up-and-coming prospects are going to be, because the game is a complete write-off. So I'm hoping you're right. I'm genuinely hoping you're right.
I'm hoping for you. I'm right too, and for bragging rights as well. So the Canadiens are like 15, 20 minutes away from puck drop against the Vancouver Canucks, who are like obviously one of the best teams in the league.
Fourth.
What what are you expecting for tonight's game? I'm honestly expecting them to just compete the same way they played against the Oilers. Except this time you have to deal with Jack Hughes as well. You know what I mean? Quinn Hughes, excuse me. Quinn so Hughes.
You know what? I'm going to take a page out of the Joey book. And Anthony said that we're going to lose this game. We haven't won a game for Marty since he left. This is going to be the game that they win. I have a feeling, and I think Nick Suzuki, I threw as many flowers as I did his way. Fuck Nick, like dominate.
Go get it. Go get the hat trick against number 30. Number 30. Go get number 30 tonight with the hat trick.
Oh, Nick.
Oh, but you know what?
The Suzuki.
You know, and as much as I do want to see a Nick Suzuki hat trick or a Juraj Slafkovský hat trick or a Cole Caulfield hat trick. Yeah. And he ties 23 goals from last season. So that's that. Listen, it's going to be a late night. So get the espresso machines going for those in the Eastern daylight time. Fucking daylight savings time. Bullshit fucked up my sleeping habits and
everything.
I'm not getting into reps. That. I am not getting into that.
I have my reps out west. I just, you made me think I have to write just a little quick trash talk message.
Fuck you and fuck the Canucks. How about that?
No. They're a good bunch. But I'm going to say to root for the team in white and red, not blue tonight.
All right. Well, listen, obviously this episode is going to be aired a couple of hours after the game, but nonetheless, enjoy it. And I just hope for a good game. That's all. I just want the Canadiens to compete like they've been doing all for a good part of the year. That's all I want. I want a good game. I want Samuel
Montembeau to be Canadiens hat trick. I want a shutout for the Canadiens.
They lose 4-3, but we get one of the hat tricks. I'm happy. One of them gets somebody from that top line gets a hat trick. The other two get the assists. I'm happy. That's all. I'll be happy.
Let's go. Let's push it a step further. I want them to lose 10-9. Caulfield hat trick, Slafkovský hat trick, Suzuki hat trick, nine points apiece.
That'll be the worst game of Montembeau and Primo's careers in the same night.
Take one for the team, kids, like Carey did for about a better part of a decade and a half.
That's true. Just a reminder that Raphael Harvey-Pinard is taking the place of Joshua Roy. He's out indefinitely with, I think, a busted hand after a block, and that's too bad for him and Laval if they make the playoffs. So it is what it is.
We're on the podcast. It's going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, well, there you go. So if Laval makes the playoffs, he might be able to join them. We'll see. But okay. Well, there you have it. 4 to 6 weeks for Joshua Roy. Chris, man, this was awesome. Anthony, if you're hearing the rest of this, thanks for joining it for a brief amount of time. To all our listeners out there, I'll take over the reins to say goodbye, but all our episodes are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, any podcast platform. Please, on YouTube, like and subscribe. The numbers keep growing. We are feeling the love more and more. Please spread and share the love. It is free. I don't know why you're laughing, Chris, again, but anyways, don't forget, also last but not least, if you're a hockey player like me or for fun or competitive, go get your Quick Feet insoles at quickfeet.com. That's Q-U-U-I-K feet.com. Type in Curfew Boys 10 for your 10% discount. I'm telling you all, you will not regret it. Have a good night, Chris. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you later. Thank you all once again to our audience and our listeners. Until then, bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.